Hello, and welcome to That's Not Spit, It's Condensation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to That's Not Spit, It's Condensation. I'm Ryan Beach, and on today's episode, we are coming back to our roots and doing a solo episode. It's been quite some time since I've done a solo episode, as I've started my YouTube channel now, and I figured I'd just put most of the content that I was doing on the solo episodes over there, so you can see me talking about it. I feel like it's a great platform for me to be able to do that kind of thing. And the podcast, I've really shifted in towards really understanding that it's about highlighting other people, trying to learn from them, trying to have you guys, my audience and myself, be able to learn from people who have succeeded, who have failed, what they did when they failed to be able to succeed, what things are important to them, just trying to really pull these things out of them so that we can continue to learn and grow and all those things. That being said, I do miss solo episodes. I miss having the space to be able to just talk to you guys and sort of not feel like I have to do it as quickly and as efficiently as possible. But because it's a podcast, we can kind of hang out for a second. So that's what we're going to do today. You've probably noticed that at the end of my podcast episodes, my YouTube videos, my blog posts, my live streams, just the various kinds of content I'm producing, I've started saying, stay strong, be kind to yourself, and never stop growing. And, you know, I don't remember exactly where this came from. I don't remember the very first time I used it, but I know that for a period of time, I was trying to figure out a way to sign off. I've seen on YouTube, these guys will say, like, you know, be great, or like, go out and do something amazing with your lives, be nice to each other. Or one of my favorite guys, his name is Alan Thrall. He just says, ten untrained. And it sounds ridiculous, but when you do it on every single video, that's now the thing that people expect. So I thought, I need to figure that out. Excuse me, that hurt my voice a little bit to do that. And so when I was doing my live streams especially, an example would be something like, I would be ready, I'd be like, thank you guys for watching the stream, I really appreciate it. Remember, we're all capable of doing really great things, but it's up to us to figure that out. So go invest in yourselves and be awesome. And I don't really know what I'm saying. You know, it would sort of be this long-winded thing. And there was something there, but I hadn't quite figured it out. And again, I don't remember when I first said, stay strong, be kind to yourself, and never stop growing, but it all of a sudden, it felt like it just really encapsulated what I wanted my platform to be about. I want to be able to, across all platforms, provide encouragement for people to stay strong when they're struggling, to be vulnerable in my struggles, and to show how I'm trying to be kind to myself and give myself space to be imperfect. And then also just information and stories and stuff like that to help my audience and the community surrounding me to keep growing in their own endeavors and their own ventures. So that's what I kind of want to dive into. Why is this important to me? What does all of this mean? And kind of to give you a look into where this came from and all that kind of stuff. So let's get into it. The title of this episode is Stay Strong, Be Kind to Yourself, and Never Stop Growing. All right, so the very first one we're going to talk about is the first one listed, which is stay strong. This is simply exactly what it sounds like, to just stay strong in the middle of the struggle. In terms of like character principles, I think continuing to stay strong, focusing on that, is important because it really is how we develop the discipline to do the daily sort of dirty work, the patience to see it through when it doesn't necessarily go exactly the way we want to, and then also the perseverance just to stay in it, to say, I believe in this, I'm going to do this, I got to stay strong. I mean, everybody has experienced times in their lives where they've struggled to do something. It was hard to learn a piece of music, or, you know, in the weight room, I kept failing at some sort of lift, or, you know, whatever it is. But we've all struggled with this, and we've all run up against a wall where we had to stay strong and keep going. So like I was saying, some examples could be on our instrument. The struggles could be difficulty to learn music, develop fundamental skills, or maybe you just repeatedly not performed well in concerts or competitions, auditions, stuff like this. For me or other people who spend some time weightlifting in the gym or CrossFit, or maybe you swim, whatever, some sort of physical exercise, the struggle could be not seeing progress, not seeing yourself develop strength or acquire skill, or maybe you're doing physical exercise to maybe lose some weight and try to be healthier, and you're not seeing the weight loss, or you don't feel better. It's just not working. It's not happening. I think in order to stay strong over the long term, it's really essential to know why you're doing what you're doing. This is really the most important question, because if we don't know why we're doing, or if we don't really have a sort of a good, compelling reason for ourselves, we might be able to stay strong in the short term, but we definitely are going to struggle doing it for years and years and years. So a number of reasons we could be doing things. Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for others? Are you doing it because that's just what you've always done? Are you doing it because others have told you that this is what you should do? Or are you doing something because you just really haven't thought through if there were other things that you'd be interested in? I mean, I think all of these work, and I think we all can identify with one or maybe more of those reasons for doing things. And so for myself, just to give you an example for myself, recently I've just started asking myself a few questions in kind of a specific order to help me find sort of my way, basically, to help me find the ability to center myself and say, like, okay, things are not working. What's going on? What do I have to do? So if you're in the middle of a struggle, maybe you'll find asking yourself these questions helpful, and finding it so that you can kind of attach your why and understand of what's going on to help you stay strong. So the first question is, should I be doing more? Not can I do more, or does somebody else want me to do more? Should I be doing more? The reason we're saying should instead of any other word is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And so we'll get into how these apply, but I'll just do the questions first. So should I be doing more is number one. Number two, is this work important? If so, why? And then number three is, if you shouldn't be doing more, if you're already doing enough and the work is important to you, then you have to just keep doing what you're doing and stay strong. You should take heart and have faith that your work is sufficient to do the work. It's sufficient. It'll get you where you want to go. So if we want to apply this kind of thing to the earlier examples we discussed, for an instrumentalist, if you're struggling and things are hard, the first question is, should I be doing more? And the answer to that might be, it depends, right? Maybe you do need to practice more. Maybe your 30 minutes every other day is not enough to see the kind of progress that you want to see. For a lot of people, though, the answer will be no. You're already practicing enough. And maybe the answer is not more, but maybe it's diving deeper into what you're already doing and seeing if you can get more value out of what you're already doing. So that's always the first question. Should I be doing more? And it will depend. And if you're saying, I should do more, I should practice more, then go do it and see if it makes a difference, right? But if the answer is no, I shouldn't be, then you move on to the next one. Is this work important? Well, most likely the answer is going to be yes, right? It's going to lead to skill development. It's going to lead to more musical development, possibly career development. And so we're thinking to ourselves, yes, this work is good. I should be doing it. So then that leads us to the third thing. If you shouldn't be doing more, if you're already doing enough, like I said, maybe you can get a little bit more value out of what you're already doing, and also the work is important, then you just got to keep doing the work. And the work will lead you to where you want to go, especially if it's important. So just stay strong and keep doing the work. For someone who's working out, you want to ask yourself, well, if I'm not making progress, should I be doing more? And again, the answer is going to be, it depends. maybe somebody could add another exercise, or they could add another set or another rep or something like that. But at a certain point, your body is going to reach a limit where it cannot recover anymore. And so then when you reach that point, the answer is no, you shouldn't necessarily be doing more. And so if you're already doing enough and you're not seeing the progress, then you ask yourself, is this work important? And I would say the answer will almost always be yes. Your health, your general strength and body awareness, and not to mention the injury prevention benefits, it all points to the work is very important. So if the routine you're on is solid, you're already doing enough, and it leads to continued improvements in health and wellness, then yeah, you should just stay strong and continue showing up for that version of yourself that you want to be. In an effort to be vulnerable, a personal example is me, is my coaching, what I'm doing literally right now. Although I've had some amazing clients and I've really enjoyed the work, it hasn't necessarily led to a full-time career at this point. And that's a goal of mine. I would love to be able to do this full-time, but I'm not there yet. And so I have to ask myself, should I be doing more? And for me personally, the answer is no, I should not. I'm already spending a fair amount of time making videos, doing social media stuff, practicing, teaching, coaching, reading, working out, trying to figure out how to recover and get me back. And if I added more, that stuff means I have even less time for my family. And at a certain point, if I'm not spending time with my family, like, why am I even working at all, right? So is my work important? Absolutely. I believe helping people gain independence, be able to understand how they learn best and to develop a great relationship with their instrument and to learn to love the process is incredibly important to me, and I've seen benefit for others. So I know that I'm already doing enough and I believe my work is important. I kind of have no choice other than just to stay strong and continue doing the work, to continue sharing the message. I got to believe that over time that good things will continue to happen. And I do believe that. And that's just where I am right now. So I would encourage everyone listening, dream big, make those big dreams, ask the universe, ask God for a lot, because we can do really great things. And then just stay strong while you're walking the path to realizing what you want to do. Next up, we're going to talk about being kind to yourself. Now, I know that being kind to yourself can be very difficult. Talking about dreaming big, it's easy to set these big goals, these big dreams, and to set the high expectations that come with it in terms of quality of work, what kind of time frame we expect the success to be achieved in. And when things are hard at first, we're generally motivated to continue learning, break through those barriers, to stay strong. But when we're invariably still failing 6 months, a year, 5 years later, it's just easy to not be as strong and to start being hard on yourself and telling ourselves stories about how after all this time you've spent working, you should be a lot better or a lot further along than you are, and we're not good enough and we're not perfect. And it starts to become an issue of comparison. And for me, beyond staying strong, also, a key to sustained and joyful efforts is developing compassion and kindness, but first towards yourself and then towards others. Realistically speaking, the truth of the matter is that everybody is a work in progress. No matter what level someone has achieved or they've reached, they still aren't perfected. I know there's a lot of people out there who feel like they want to be perfect, or they want others to believe that they're perfect, so they don't have to be vulnerable, they don't have to pretend or even be real with themselves. But nobody is perfect. And we can know that, first of all, we don't have to control everybody else, but we can look at ourselves and start with ourselves and have compassion, have kindness, and we'll start there. I think one of the sort of real dangers of our society right now. This is something a lot of us have already thought about, but that social media gives us an inaccurate representation of perfection and how well somebody else is doing. And I mean, I'm sure most of you have seen The Social Dilemma. When I watched The Social Dilemma, I thought two things. One, I've experienced all of this. I've experienced that pull, that desire to continue checking. But the other thing I wanted to do was to be real. I just want to be real with you all, because I think if I tell you what my experience, a little bit about what my experience has been on social media, it might, I don't know if it'll shock you or if it'll surprise you or if you'll say, yeah, that makes sense. But when I first started making content on social media, I remember being enamored with the engagement and getting likes and the views and everything that came with it. And, you know, I would check it regularly every 15 seconds. We'd be out with some family friends and I'd get a message from somebody and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I have to answer this right now. And Kathleen, my wife, would say like, hey, like, can we do this later? You know, we're with our family. I'd be like, I don't know. I feel like there's an expectation that this person wants my time, my attention right now. I had pretty horrible boundaries at that point. It obviously sounds like. But sort of on top of that, it was just this idea that I wanted to put up an image of something and then have people respond to that so I could sort of get my way into some sort of career spot that I was not already in. I had these expectations that I'd be further along than I was at this point. And maybe I saw social media as a way to move that along. And I was just really hard on myself if engagement didn't go. It was like, oh, I guess I didn't play well enough in that video to get the same amount of views or the same amount of likes than I did last time or the same amount of likes I was arbitrarily comparing myself, somebody else I was comparing myself to. And like, I would start to be jealous of people like trumpet players who have bigger accounts. They're making videos and I'd be like, oh, how did this person get all of these videos? Like they barely played anything. And like, I was kind of like in my mind, mean to these people. I'm like pretty like sort of embarrassed actually to admit this, but it's just real. Like maybe we've all experienced this. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one, but they were just getting success that I wanted in the music field, on social media, just sort of in general. And it was hard for me to be kind to them because I had such ridiculous expectations of myself. And I did not see myself as an imperfect person who was a work in progress. So that way I couldn't just say, they're over there doing their thing. I'm in the middle of my journey. I'm just where I'm at. And that is okay. So for me, the ability to let go of my own expectations and to understand that I'm not perfect. And to accept that I'm not perfect and that the struggle and failing is part of the learning process has really helped me be much kinder to myself. And as a result, I've been able to connect with the struggles of others more. So before, when I was trying to be perfect and someone said, oh, I'm struggling to learn this thing in my practice session, it was hard for me to connect because I wouldn't put myself back there. Everything had to be all put together. And now I feel maybe it's not in the trumpet, but my struggles that I'm experiencing in other areas help me connect to the struggles that I maybe had previously in my trumpet career that I may not have as much anymore because I've been more developed. So I just think ultimately that has been important for me to develop, and that's why that's part of saying be kind to yourself. Maybe you've been noticing, I've been asking the question a lot recently of my podcast guests especially, do we need to suffer to learn deep lessons about ourselves? I just like wondered if people who hadn't suffered a lot would be able to listen to stories of people who had suffered and then take the messages seriously as someone else who has suffered more and maybe they were still in the struggle. Basically, like, do you have to struggle to learn? And I think the answer is yes. Unfortunately, we need to struggle and we need to suffer to really make some of these things real to us. It's not just, I know that I want to be this way, but the struggle makes it real. And when it's real, then nobody can take it away from us. So because I can be kind to myself, vulnerable and imperfect, I'm so much more willing to share my struggles and what I've learned. The lessons from Indie episode, the episodes about what I've learned, the hard, the good, the bad, and things I learned the hard way. You know, the episode I did about Chicago where I didn't win this audition and still walked through the process and talked about how I felt like that was okay. Those come because I'm letting myself be imperfect and in the middle of the struggle and just trying to share not just about the struggles, but what I've learned about healing. So really, instead of trying to pretend I have all the answers, I feel like now I'm just trying to attempt to be a light that can help others find their way out of their own suffering if we happen to connect on our messages. You know, it's much less about being perfect and like demonstrably fixing the world and more about just trying to say, this is what I have to share. I really hope it helps. So if this is an encouragement to all of you listening, if somebody right now is struggling with this, you do not need to be perfect. You don't need to know everything. Even the most judgmental people are struggling on the inside. And so if compassion and kindness are incredibly important to develop to help us connect with each other, I believe it is first developed by focusing on yourself, and then we can turn it outwards towards others. Be kind to yourself. Finally, we come to what I believe is the most interesting and challenging part of these three topics we're discussing in this episode. I kind of even wanted just to focus for a second on what growth is. When I typed in growth on Google, the most applicable definition was the process of developing or maturing physically, mentally, or spiritually. And I think this pretty well sums it up, actually. I've been having these really intense conversations with my family members about growth recently. What I've learned from these conversations is that fixed and growth mindsets are both very real. And I know I'm not going to add anything to this conversation that hasn't already been discussed somewhere else, but I do just want to give a few of my thoughts. Believing that we are good at certain things and not good at other things, and that those abilities we are good at will define what we are capable of doing in this world, is nothing more than a limiting belief. And we get these limiting beliefs from a variety of sources. We can get them from our parents, from our friends, from our teachers, from our coworkers. We can even get them from ourselves, and that's often where we get them. And those are the most sort of powerful ones that we will get are the ones from ourselves. And so if we use these limiting beliefs about ourselves to determine what our impact in the world can be, it's just the reason why I feel like we should challenge these things is because we might miss out on the possibility of some sort of meaningful fulfillment in life that might be hidden behind a wall of adversity. It's not so much about like, I don't want to struggle. I've already figured out what I'm good at. It's just, we don't know. We kind of need to be open. We don't know what kind of fulfillment we might have on this thing that we don't think we're good at, or we might not have a lot of interest in doing because we're not already good at it. But with a little bit of struggle, we might find that this leads to some fulfillment we didn't even understand was possible. And so it encapsulates both the other ones. We need to stay strong, and we need to be kind to ourselves so that we can question what we know so we can never stop growing. You know, personally, one conversation that I had in my past that is etched in my memory forever is one that I had with someone who has been a major supporter of mine over the years. When I was younger, I hadn't really developed some habits towards showing up on time or being organized, and that's just mostly because I had very little desire to actually figure that out. So I think in this conversation with this person who's been supportive of me, I think it was aimed towards helping me grow up and mature. And I think that it was effective. But in this conversation, I was told, you need to learn how to show up on time, be ready, and be organized. That's just how things work. Unless you want to do your own thing in the future, but that's highly unlikely. Now, I don't think this person meant any harm toward me. I actually believe they had done this conversation out of love and trying to get me to understand that it's important to get on board with the rules that society has. Like, we have to be able to function in society. Then society has rules, and that's what this was about. But that line, but it's highly unlikely, sort of inadvertently defined how I saw myself for quite some time. And I think it's ironic now, as I struggle to establish an online coaching business and manage my own content creation over a number of platforms, organization and scheduling are essential, crucial to know how to do it and to be successful at it for my own success. You know, and I'm doing my own thing. In many ways, I'm doing my own thing right now. But for a period of time, there was a struggle related to that limiting belief that was placed in my sphere. Once I realized it, once I could acknowledge that, it's like the limiting belief disappeared. But until I realized it and I went searching in those deep, dark places, I wasn't even really aware that this limiting belief existed. I mean, it took root much more deeply than I believe that it was meant to or that I even thought it would. And so, you know, that's just one example. I'm sure anyone listening can think of a multitude of examples of parents who said certain things, and maybe they're trying to be encouraging, but we sort of weirdly internalized it as this thing I got praised for. That means that's the thing I should do because that's what I get praised for, not necessarily because I really want to or what I feel like I'm good at or whatever kinds of pressures we experience. But I think this mentality of never stop growing is sort of how we combat all of that. Because as long as we just continually show up and continually learn about ourselves, sort of the world around us and other people, we can start to break through these limiting beliefs just through the process of continuing to learn. So, you know, we've talked about some character principles that can be developed through staying strong and being kind to yourself. And for Never Stop Growing, I think it brings three amazing principles with it. The first two of them are love and joy. Joy comes because it's just a gift to sit in the middle of the process and learn, and to remember how incredible it is that we can learn, that we can add complexity to our consciousness. Like, we don't have to stay the same. We don't know a certain finite amount of information for the rest of our lives, and we're stuck right there. Like, we can learn and grow and expand. And that's not always cool because we can do that, but like, what a gift to realize that we have that opportunity. Another one that it's kind of funny because it's a little bit related to this, but it's forever etched in my mind is one of the fitness people I follow on YouTube, his name is Brian Alsru. I've mentioned him a few times. His wife is named Elena Alsru. And I just was randomly searching through her Instagram because she's very strong. She's very athletic and she's got like a really positive vibe. I was like, this is pretty cool. And I saw her deadlift like 225 pounds for like 11, 12, 13 reps or something like that. And it was clearly a struggle. It was clearly a fight. And then in the caption, the very last thing she wrote was, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to do this today. Like, to grow, to show up, to try to be a little bit better than she was yesterday. And that stuck with me forever. There's this joy associated with the opportunity to show up and learn more. And love is just never stop growing, is constantly learning new things, also reminding us that we love doing these things. You know, love is developed through that, being reminded that we love to do it and that we may not like it all the time, but the love for the process, the love of learning about this thing, it's just like, it's what keeps us coming back. The third principle that is developed, and I think it's really worthy of putting in its own category, is humility. And for me, the way I've interpreted it, humility carries one obvious benefit and one hidden benefit. The obvious benefit is developing the attitude that we are not the smartest person in the room. You know, the grace to recognize that everybody has skills, everybody has gifts to contribute, and we can learn so much from each other. Just because we have this knowledge over here doesn't mean that we can't add somebody else's knowledge and learn something sort of, you know, almost like a mastermind. Napoleon Hill talks about in his book, Think and Grow Rich, it's this mastermind of I'll bring what I have to the table, you bring what you have to the table, and we'll create something that neither of us could have created separately, right? Synergy, all that kind of stuff. I think that's very real. And sort of that posture leads us to being able to learn. But related, sort of the hidden benefit behind that of developing humility is that in my mind, developing humility is 100% a vote for yourself. It's saying, I can grow. I view myself as someone that can continue to improve. I want to give myself that opportunity, and I am open to wherever that takes me. For me, the posture of humility really opens up the world to us. So I hope this is of an encouragement to you to believe in yourself, to believe that you can improve, that you can be better, and that you should start today and never stop growing. All right, everybody, that's going to be all for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. For me, it was important, actually, but also just really joyful to get to sit down and sort of work my way through what this is in a way that I might be able to explain it to other people. So I hope it was enjoyable for you as well. I got the music for this episode from epidemicsound.com. It's an awesome website with tons of royalty-free music. So if you're somebody like me who now needs to have music on a whole bunch of different things, I would definitely check that out. I would like to thank Brandon Yoka for his work on mastering this episode of the podcast. And most of all, I truly, truly, truly want to thank you all for listening. It's amazing to have a group of people that are on the other side of this that care about what's going on and want to learn from all of these people we're interviewing. And that just means the world to me. So I really, really appreciate all of your support for all of this time that we've been doing this podcast. Always remember, stay strong, be kind to yourself, never stop growing. And we'll see you next time.